we're talking about the issue of sports teams using Native American mascots. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. More than two dozen public high schools in Wisconsin have Native American mascots or nicknames, and we're taking a closer look at the misrepresentation and stereotyping as Washington, D.C.'s NFL team announced this week it would be retiring its logo and changing its name. What do you think about schools or sports teams using Native Americans as their mascot? How are you or someone in your life marginalized by historical misrepresentation? There's a place here for your story, 800-642-1234. Attorney Tricia Zunker is president of the Wausau School Board and an associate justice of the Ho-Chunk Nation Supreme Court. Tricia, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thank you. Good morning.
So you're making this renewed push for a statewide ban on public schools using Native Americans or depictions of Native Americans as their sports team mascots and school logos to take those, to retire those. What is the process you need to go through for this effort?
Well, we will repeat what we did last year. I brought a resolution to my board, and the board voted unanimously in support of this resolution. So part of that discussion last year was that I would seek co-sponsorship, and I actually ended up seeking 18 co-sponsors until the deadline for resubmission, or I'm sorry, until submission last year. And that's why we heard that statewide discussion last year. I probably wouldn't do that this year. First, the very first step, I need the full school board to vote on this. We don't need a unanimous vote. We just need a majority vote. And I will then reach out to last year's co-sponsors as a courtesy. But I have heard from four school districts that did reach out to me last week to inquire whether we were doing this again. So I know that there is interest in co-sponsoring.
The Wisconsin Association of School Boards says it doesn't have the ability to enforce a ban like this. Is there an issue with oversight?
You know, it's true. They act as a lobbying body. So if this is something that comes up with the legislature, they are able to weigh in as a lobbying body and indicate that this is what school districts are asking for and support.
What is the status now? How many schools in the state have Native American mascots?
So I believe it's 28. Last year, in July of 2019, when this conversation started, there were 31 school districts. And even though the resolution didn't pass at the Wisconsin Association of School Boards annual meeting in January 2020, three school districts did make the change on their own volition after this statewide conversation started. And what that means is thousands upon thousands of students will not be subjected to interscholastic discrimination as a result of those three districts making the change.
Do we know about the origins of these mascots? How did the public schools choose them?
You know, I don't know. I think it's different for different schools, but the bottom line is that human beings are not mascots, and it's never good educational policy to stereotype against an entire race of people. And that's what this comes down to. Even though I am an Indigenous woman and have my feelings about this as a Ho-Chunk woman, the bottom line is we have to focus on educational policy when we talk about these depictions. And this is in 2005, the APA, American Psychological Association, issued a resolution calling for immediate retirement of Native American mascots, images, logos, nicknames, and symbols because of their detrimental effect on the educational experience of everyone. They undermine the educational experience of all students. They exacerbate cross-community conflict, and they create a hostile learning environment for Native students that have lifelong detrimental consequences. So this is based on peer-reviewed, credible research, and we have to focus on how it is not good educational policy to stereotype against an entire race of people.
Does your resolution give schools guidance on how to go through this process of changing their mascot, changing their names?
Well, it's not particularly difficult. Certainly they can phase out over time. They can rely on community input for a new mascot. In fact, that's something that the Auburndale School did. They were the Apaches, and last fall when this conversation was happening statewide, they announced that they were going to be seeking community input on a new mascot. They are now the Auburndale Eagles based on the community input that they received. They can certainly phase out their uniforms over time, a coat of paint in the gym to paint over any images that might be, you know, painted on their gymnasium walls. It certainly isn't difficult, but the point is that it needs to get started.
We're talking with Tricia Zunker, president of the Wausau School Board and associate justice with the Ho-Chunk Nation Supreme Court. She's leading a statewide push to retire Native American mascots from schools. Taking your questions about this as well, what do you think about schools or sports teams using Native Americans as their mascot? Did your high school have a Native American mascot for its football team? What came of it? And was it a student-led change or an administrative change that eventually led to the name change and the mascot change? Join in with your story, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Tricia, what do detractors or critics of changing names say about this? What are some common things you hear in the pushback?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. There are two standard arguments. The one that we often hear is this is honoring Native Americans, and the second is that this is an issue of local control. So to take those in order, the first one is to honor Native Americans, then we should actually make sure that our school districts comply with Act 31. Act 31 is the state law that requires education on all 11 federally recognized tribes in Wisconsin twice in the elementary years and once in the secondary years, at a minimum. And this doesn't mean some blanket education on Native Americans. It means on each tribe. So learning twice about Stockbridge Munsee in the elementary years, twice about Menominee, twice about Ho-Chunk Nation, et cetera, et cetera. And this is well known that this state law is not complied with. DPI issued information on that a couple years ago. Wisconsin Association of School Boards has issued information on that. So if we truly want to honor Native Americans, then we should first start by accurately teaching our history and that we still exist in society. When we see these stereotypical images of Native Americans that just aren't necessarily accurate, it contributes to a misunderstanding of who we are today in society. Now, as to the second argument, saying that it is an issue of local control, mascots do not stay confined within school district boundaries. Some of the questions that we were asked last year was, why does Wausau care? Wausau doesn't even have mascots. No, we don't. But 10 minutes south of us are the Mosinee Indians. I've had to explain that to my own son when we've seen that information, that, you know, sweatshirt that says Mosinee Indians, how that's different from us being Ho-Chunk. Very, very different. But our students are unwillingly exposed to these mascots, nicknames, et cetera, through athletic and scholastic events throughout the state. So they don't stay confined within a school district boundary. Essentially, we are forcing our students to participate in interscholastic discrimination.
Let's bring in Mike now in Watertown. Hi, Mike.
Hi there.
Hi, go ahead. What's your question?
I'd like to get the guest's opinion on the Vikings and Irish mascots, as an Irish and Norwegian descended person.
Tricia, do you have insights there about how you approach other, you know, mascots such as the Vikings?
I don't. This is something that I've been focused on, the race-based mascots, specifically Native Americans, and the research that supports the elimination of that practice.
Mike, thanks. Let's go to Thomas now in Mayville. Hi, Thomas.
Hi there.
Hi, what would you Hello? Like to add? Yes, hi, Thomas. We can hear you.
So I grew up in Muskego, and their mascot was like an Indian head, and it was, we identified as the Warriors, and I kind of felt the pride with that. And I think it does a real disservice to kind of try and erase the history, you know, of different cultural backgrounds like the Vikings or, you know, the Irishmen or Indians or Warriors or whatever you want to call it. I think you just reduce awareness. I don't know if there's a lot of research that counters that, but I don't know. That's just what I had to think of.
Yeah, Thomas, let's get Tricia's thoughts there.
Yeah, no, I'm really glad that you asked about that. There's a lot of research, and in fact, something that was just released publicly, what was it, last month, a study that is very robust. It shows consistent findings and rigorous methods, and the study is titled, let me just pull it up here. The Psychosocial Effects of Native American Mascots, a Comprehensive Review of Empirical Research Findings. And this is a lengthy study, but it talks about just seeing those images and what the perception is in the mind of individuals. And when we see these images that are being described, the study concluded that people have this image of Native Americans as being aggressive and just very negative images as a result. And they aren't accurate. They aren't accurate as to the existence of Native Americans in society today. We're the only population that has to prove our blood quantum, but people don't all look like that and yet are still Native American in society and face things as Native people that aren't understood by the greater society. So it actually isn't a clear and accurate depiction at all.
The mascots themselves, the images and the names can also both in effect have, psychological effects on Native people. How do you see the image and the names working against what you're trying to do?
Well, exactly. This is what all of the studies say, is that they undermine the educational experiences of students, both Native and non-Native students, by perpetuating the stereotype of Native Americans that doesn't exist. And it leads to this cross-community conflict. So we have to stay focused on the fact that this is a matter of educational policy, and what the research and the data support is that these mascots, these images, are eliminated from our schools.
Tricia Zunker is WASA School Board President, pushing to retire these mascots. Did your high school have a Native American mascot? Is it retiring the name, or has there been a renewed push to do so? How do you feel about it? Be part of this 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Tricia Zunker right here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. My high school, Southwest in Minneapolis, retired its Native American nickname and mascot when I was in school. The resolution passed in 87, but in 1988, I recall the transition being widely supported by the student body. And I'll add that Southwest was one of the first high schools in the country to stop using a Native American for its mascot and nickname. And the name was changed to the Lakers. The school sits near a chain of city lakes, one of which in recent years has been renamed to its original Dakota name, which is Bide Makaska. Has your school gone through this process? Still time, 800-642-1234. We have attorney Tricia Zunker, who is leading an effort to get Wisconsin Public Schools to retire Native American mascots and nicknames, and she stays with us. Let's bring in Katie now, joining us from Janesville. Hi, Katie.
Good morning. I actually have two quick questions. The first one, does the name Warrior give the same negative connotation as Indians or Redskins, that type of thing? Because a warrior could be depicted as just about any type of people. And the second one is, does the name Devils or Demons or anything like that, does that have the same negative connotation? You know, you were talking about the study and how that affects all the kids. Do those, like Devils and Demons, does that actually have the same kind of negative effect?
Thanks, Katie. Tricia?
Well, I think as to the Warrior nickname, what is the accompanying image? That is the critical issue that's determinative here. If it is this stereotypical Native American image that's only going to reflect, activate, or reinforce stereotypes about Native Americans, then yes, it absolutely is problematic. As to the second question and Devils or Demons, my focus here on educational policy is with the research and data that supports elimination of race-based mascots. So as to that inquiry, I don't know what that accompanying image would be. I certainly hope it's not what we're talking about here, but I don't have an answer on that because the focus here is on race-based mascots, specifically Native American, and the data and research that supports their elimination as a matter of educational policy.
So as you go through this process with resolution, have you changed it in any way this time around?
I'm not changing it in that I will bring it back to my board next Monday the 27th, July 27th. I am including the 2020 research that I mentioned earlier in this interview. It is robust. It is the newest research on this, so I am including that with the references after full review of that, and will encourage my board to review that prior to the meeting. But we stood by this resolution last year, and I don't see why we would change the language of it this year. And not only did we stand by it, but many districts co-sponsored and stood by it as well without insisting or asking for any changes to the language.
Tricia, earlier this week, we saw the Washington, D.C. national football team announce that it was going to retire its name. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it was definitely an overdue change, and I am so grateful to the tribal leaders, activists, and allies who worked for over 50 years on requesting, advocating for that change. And it was unfortunate that they weren't referenced in the press release by the Washington NFL team, or even a reason for the change. However, I am glad that it is a change. I am glad that you are not saying the name. There are a lot of outlets that say that name and don't understand that that R word is a racial slur. It's one of the worst, if not the worst, to Native Americans. I don't want to give you an example of what could be equivalent to another minority community, but it's terrible and triggering, and I'm grateful that you're actually not saying that word. Thank you.
Do you think that it will initiate the process in other communities from the college level to the high school level?
It might. It might get people to think. I think that really the bottom line is people have to focus on educational policy. This isn't a matter of personal opinion. And even when we're talking about the college level or the national level with football teams, baseball teams, et cetera, we have to remember that our children are watching, listening, and learning. And reinforcing stereotypes is something that we need to work hard as a community to eliminate. And this is one overdue change, whether the local level, state, or national level.
We're talking with Tricia Zunker, president of the Wausau School Board and associate justice with the Ho-Chunk Nation Supreme Court. She's leading the push to retire Native American mascots from schools. Let's bring in Andy now in Superior. Hi, Andy.
Hi. Yeah, I was curious if any schools or anybody like that has tried to go through the steps of making their mascot culturally sensitive according to, you know, the local Indian population and following the act. I can't remember the number at all.
Act 31. Yeah, Tricia?
I am aware that they're the school district, which I don't think they qualify as one of these 28 remaining schools. But I have been in contact with Baraboo because some of their board members were wondering about their image and thoughts on that. And I know that they have been in, I think it's the Thunderbirds, and they've been in contact with Ho-Chunk Nation, which is the nearest tribe to them, a lot of tribal members that go to that district. That's the only one I'm aware of, but they really don't fall within the 28 remaining anyway. And I do think it's a little bit problematic, too, when you kind of rely on just a local tribe's input, because we really have to, I think that's great, that's definitely an important step, but we really have to look at the data, the peer-reviewed, credible research as a source of decision-making, whether we're talking about educational policy or something else. What does the data say? And if it says this is harmful to all students, it only creates more problems, it creates low self-esteem for Native students, et cetera, well, then, you know, then it's clear that we need to make those changes in the interest of our students.
Andy, thanks. Let's bring in Rodney now in Fond du Lac. Hi, Rodney. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I went to a high school that had a Native American mascot and still does. We didn't find it offensive at all. Your guest talks about all of the imperial data that she has found stating that it's bad, but she never mentions, is there any data that states it's not bad? And she calls it a race-based thing, but anybody who was asked her a question about another race was told, no, it's just about Native Americans.
Rodney, I want to have Tricia interject here. Tricia, what would you say there?
okay, so I think the ultimate point that he was making is that he went to a high school with a Native American mascot and he didn't find it offensive. That's the difficulty here, is people that don't realize that there are other individuals, Native American leaders, the researchers, that demonstrate this is offensive. We can go back to talking about the Washington NFL team and how the tribal leaders, activists, and allies were ignored for over 50 years when stating that this is a problematic practice and totally ignored. And they were saying it is an offensive practice. And I do want to give a shout out to Barb Munson, who has been working on this throughout this state since 1995. As she's a member of the Oneida Nation, her daughter went to Mozumi High School, which has the Indians, and she's been working on this for so long. And in fact, I went to her in the start of this as a sign of respect before taking this on last year to get her thoughts and approval, quite frankly. And this is just a common thing that has been heard for decades. Oh, we didn't find it offensive, so it's not. But disregarding the opinions and thoughts of Native people who do, and the bottom line is that a lot of people don't actually know a lot of Native Americans to get full insight, or maybe hear from just one person and say, oh, well, my friend is Native American and she doesn't think it's a problem, so it's not a problem. And we have to listen to the greater voice, and we have to look to the data and the research here as a matter of educational policy.
Tricia, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Tricia Zunker is president of the WASA School Board and an associate justice of the Ho-Chunk Nation Supreme Court. Just ahead, we talk with a longtime education reporter about what we can expect and what remains unknown about whether Wisconsin schools will reopen in the fall, how education will look like in the fall. What do you hope your local district does? 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.